I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, two very different stories about gay life in America. A woman's lifelong secret is finally revealed in the pages of Newsweek magazine, and the story of two men and their fight to stay together. Daniel Mangini and Stephen Roberts, partners for 20 years before they were both convicted of drug dealing. Federal probation policies are clear. Parolees are forbidden from associating with other ex-cons unless they are blood relatives or spouses. But what if your spouse is not recognized in the eyes of the law? Now on parole, they fought and won the right from a federal judge to see each other, gradually and while supervised. Here to talk about the implications of this case for same-sex couples are Dan and Steve, as well as ACLU attorney Larry Frankel. They join us from member station WHYY in Philadelphia. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Dan, if I could start with you. You and Steve were together for 20 years. You were obviously stable enough as a couple to be asked to help raise Stephen's niece. What happened? How did you two wind up in prison?
I'm still confused about that, but basically, through the disease of addiction, led us down the wrong path and into criminal activity. This happened after Christina, our daughter, left our home. We kind of got back into the club scene, and unfortunately, it was pretty prevalent, actually, with the situation that we were in, where crystal meth was introduced to us by other groups of young professionals, and it seemed like, well, it must be okay to do if everybody else is doing it. And it was bad judgment, led to bad decisions, led to the criminal activity.
Steve, maybe you want to take this. How did you fare during your incarceration? Were you able to see each other, communicate at all?
No, we were unable to communicate or write letters to each other. We would, just as we did while we were first out on probation, is third-party communication.
If you had been married and you were both incarcerated, would you have been able to? If you'd been married in the eyes of the law and were both incarcerated, would you have been able to communicate to your knowledge?
We would have been able to get permission to write letters to each other, yes.
Mm-hmm. But you weren't able to during the time No. You were both in prison. Dan, how was that for you? What was that like?
We were at the lowest point of our lives, and at a time where you actually needed the one person you could count on to be there, that person was not there. Thank goodness, with the support of Stephen's uncle, we were able to keep track on each other. But not having anybody to talk to was, you know, when I'm sure anybody who's in a situation where they have a partner, when something bad happens as well as something good, you want to be able to share that with your partner. So we had to face the darkest part of our life apart.
And Dan, I don't know, I hope this is not too personal, and if it is, I'm sure you'll tell me, but it's my understanding that you've recently been diagnosed with AIDS.
That's correct.
And is that part of what the urgency was about for you? For both
I
of you?
I believe so, mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe more so on Stephen's end. I kept hearing that, you know, he was worried I wasn't, you know, he would never see me again alive, but I'm doing well with my illness. But that really pushed us, because it was more especially important just to give him peace of mind so that he could see for himself that I am doing well and that I'm going to be around for a long time.
When you both were released, because you had different sentences, I think, Steve, you were in longer than Dan was, but how did you figure out that you weren't going to be able to see each other? How was that explained to you, Steve?
Actually, it wasn't explained until a week prior to my release. I was pulled into the counselor's office, and they had received a letter from the probation office that I would not be allowed to reside at my uncle's house where Dan Mangini lived.
How did you figure out that you could fight this, or what gave you the idea that you could fight this?
I had sent a message to Dan that, you know, because he wasn't feeling well, that I had promised him that I would, when I got out of jail, that I would take care of him and I would look out for him. So when I got out of jail and I was unable to keep that promise, I searched the information on the internet and could find nothing. No cases that sounded like our case. It just seemed so unfair that I immediately typed a letter to the ACLU and hoped that they would respond.
And I'm going to bring in ACLU attorney Larry Frankel now. Did the ACLU have a debate over whether to take this case, Larry?
In our office, we didn't. I think the letter first went up to our New York office, and they forwarded it to us. And I think once we got it, we immediately realized the injustice of this, that it was something that we needed to try and address. Fortunately, we have a lot of volunteer attorneys that work with us, and one of them who is on our board is a federal criminal defense attorney, and he was ready to step in right away, so we had the expertise to fight this as well as the burning passion to fight it.
Why did you decide that this is something you had to do? I'm just wondering what the broader implications of it here, because generally the ACLU is interested in cases that have some broader reach. So what about the case did you feel was important as an institution?
I think we immediately realized the broader implications of the case. The reality of our lives, and I mean all of our lives, is that more and more same-sex couples, gay men, lesbian women, are part of our community. They are engaged in all sorts of productive and sometimes not productive behavior. And this was an opportunity to go to the court and start dealing with the kinds of situations that are going to be arising over the years, whether in a civil or a criminal context, that we need the courts to recognize that two men who've lived together for 20 years should be treated the same way as a man and woman who've lived together for 20 years, that they indeed are a family. And we understood the importance that we can't just fight for family rights for people who fit every stereotype of middle-class couple. We have to fight for family rights for everybody.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dan Mangini and Steve Roberts, a gay couple who were recently allowed to see each other after being paroled on drug-dealing charges. We're also talking with ACLU attorney Larry Frankel, who represented them. So what are the broader implications of it? What is the broader message? Is that the fact of their having had this close relationship for such a long period of time makes them a family?
Well, I think that is one of the implications of it, that the courts are going to be asked to address a lot of interesting legal questions that arise for same-sex couples. And the implication of this case is that in the same way the courts have recognized that intimate relations between opposite-sex couples are important and enjoy legal protections, the intimate relationships between same-sex couples are just as worthy and just as important.
And Larry, as I understand it, this case never reached the appellate level, so that means there is no binding precedent, as I understand it. So how do you think that this will have an impact beyond these two men, if that's the case? Or is it more just a symbolic precedent?
Oh, I think it's far more than just symbolic. All around the country, more and more cases involving, you know, interesting and novel legal questions related to same-sex couples will arise, and we hope that through this case we can, you know, educate lawyers and, you know, and clients and even judges that there is a legal basis for recognizing the value and importance of those relationships, and even if the statutes haven't made it clear that they're to be accorded equality, that this is some guidance to courts that have to grapple with these issues.
So, Dan, what's the status now? Can you see each other without supervision? Did you have to be given permission to come together to do this interview today?
No, absolutely not. They had tried to make an agreement when we went into court. They were going to allow us one 12-hour visit a week, two phone calls a week, with prior notification, which, as we discussed in court, that just really wasn't an option. Unfortunately, day-to-day life, especially if you're dealing with an illness, it isn't a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday, call your probation situation. So it really, we just felt it was all or nothing. Mm-hmm. So today we're allowed to see each other whenever we want. We don't have to call anybody. And we've been trying to take advantage of it.
Well, you know, the conservative writers and people who follow this issue have already taken notice of this decision and have criticized it as yet another blow against a traditional marriage. But I was wondering about what reaction you might be getting from the gay community, because, and I don't know if this is painful for you to hear, but people who are in favor of same-sex marriage feel like it's an uphill battle anyway. And I wonder if they feel that it's helpful to their cause to have two former meth drug dealers who also, you know, fled before in advance of trial as the latest poster children for the cause. And I just wondered if you've had any discussions about that, if you've heard anything of that sort.
It was never our intention to be a poster child or to be a role model. Everybody has skeletons. I apologize for the criminal activity I got involved in, but it all began with the disease of addiction, which is exactly what it is, that led to bad decisions. And I would like it just to be known that we took a bad situation and we're trying to make something good of it. And if, you know, certainly it has benefited Stephen and I, and hopefully down the road it will benefit other same-sex couples.
Stephen, what about you? If I could hear just a final thought from you. That's a lot to deal with. You know, you're coming out of prison, you're trying to rebuild your life, your partner is very sick, and now you're a public figure. How do you feel about all that?
I knew that we had made some mistakes. We had hurt people by selling drugs. I was hoping that Dan and I didn't know it would be this way, would be able to make it up to the community with helping other addicts or anything that we could do to help. So this situation is great.
Steve Roberts and Dan Mangini, a couple of 20 years, recently were awarded the right to see each other while on parole for drug charges. Larry Frankel is an attorney with the ACLU, which successfully represented their case. Larry, Dan, Stephen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.